Thank you for listening to the Calvary Church Podcast. For more information about the church, you can visit us online at toledocalvary.org or follow us on social media at Toledo Calvary.
Good morning, Calvary. It's so good to see you and be here with you this morning. How many of you guys are enjoying this beautiful weather we are having outside right now? Yeah, it's awesome. I want to welcome you if you're joining us in auditorium too, and if you're online as well. Well, spring season is here, and I don't know about you, I love this time of the year. The weather is getting warmer. The flowers are starting to come back. They're starting to pop up all over the place. And one of the things I love about spring, it makes me to start to think about my garden. And how many of you guys like to garden? Come on. Yeah. So how many of you guys like to grow vegetables in your garden? Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do. About 5 years ago, I started to have this interest in doing this. And I went out and I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't have a garden at home. I don't know what to do. And so I just researched, like, hey, I'm going to build a garden and I'm going to do it. So I built a raised garden, took time to do that. And, you know, I didn't build a small one. I made sure it was 20 feet long, you know, by 16 feet wide. I wanted to make sure that I was going to have a big garden. And so I did that. Then I went out and bought vegetables. And just like today, you know, I thought I would bring one of my vegetables with me. And so this is a tomato plant. And, you know, if you know me, I like to have fun in life. And so when I'm doing my garden, I have fun with it too. And so I name my plants. And so this is a tomato plant, and so I named it Bob. And so this is Bob. So church, this is Bob. Bob, this is the church. And, you know, I find so much joy in planting veggies and the reward with it, what comes with it when it grows and things ripen. And there's something so rewarding going out to the garden, you know, and you know, one day you go out there and it doesn't look like anything took place. Then you go back out there the next day and you're like, holy moly, I got cucumbers coming out of the ears right now. It's amazing. And so I love bringing that harvest in the house. And over the years, I've had to learn a lot of things about gardening. And I've gained some knowledge that I didn't know when I first started. For instance, I didn't know certain vegetables couldn't grow next to other certain vegetables. When I made this 20-foot garden, in my mind, I visioned like tons of vegetables. And so it didn't matter if I had onions next to the tomatoes, or it didn't matter if I had cucumbers next to whatever. I just put them in there. It's just like, here's a spot I'm putting it in. And so I did that, and I didn't know that's not a good thing to do. I also didn't know that, or you guys should say, pay attention to spacing. You know, in this tomato plant, it says I should space other plants from this 36 inches apart. I only got so much garden bed. I need more of that. So the first year I did that, you know, I love cherry tomatoes. And so I didn't pay attention to that spacing. And so I got about a dozen plants. Yeah. And I only put them inches from each other. So imagine my surprise when those tiny plants turned into a jungle of vines that started to overtake everything. The good news is I had plenty of tomatoes. So many tomatoes that I could feed the whole church. But over the years, I definitely learned more about what to do and not to do. The knowledge I gained has allowed me to have some very successful gardens over the years. As I think about my vegetable garden, I can't help to think about us. I think about the things we plant ourselves in and the things we don't plant ourselves in. So my question for you today is this: where are you planted? When I ask that question, I want you to think about tending to the garden of your soul. In the garden of life, there are things that need to be tended to in order to grow closer to God. There are things that might need some pruning, some watering, some fertilizing, or maybe you need to plant into a different soil. Today, we're going to look That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. But before we look at that text, let me give you some background, what's taking place here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter is one of two letters that Peter wrote. He wrote this letter to a group of people in Asia Minor, which we know as modern-day Turkey. Peter was writing to encourage people in their faith, to help build them up and help strengthen them. Peter was writing to them while he was in a Roman prison. In fact, in verse 14, he talks about that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. Peter's talking about how God revealed that he wouldn't have much time left on earth. In fact, many historians believe shortly after Peter wrote this letter, he was executed for being a Christian. Now think about that. This is his last communication to the church. And what is he saying to them? The overall theme for this letter is to live for God, to serve God, to be diligent about chasing after the things of God. I know we say our current culture is crazy, but look at Peter's culture back then. They were literally murdering Christians. Yet in that kind of culture, he was still saying, hey, live for God, serve God, grow with God. That was his encouragement. And as we look at it today, I believe Peter wants us to see something as well. I believe Peter is encouraging us to diligently pursue a godly lifestyle. To diligently pursue something means to chase after it. Go after God. Live for God. Serve God. In order to do that, he's saying to plant yourself in God. Plant yourself so you can grow with God. Plant yourself in the Christian life. That's what really 2 Peter is all about. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how we start at verse 8. For the very reason. What's the reason? God has already provided for us, through the promise of his word, everything we need to have a victorious Christian life. Everything that you need to be victorious. Everything you need to overcome. Everything you need to live a godly life. All those things have already been provided to us through the promises of God. And he says in verse 8, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Add to your faith. He isn't saying in order to be saved that you need to add these things. Our faith in Jesus Christ is what saves us. For by grace you're saved through this. We're saved by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus and asking him to come into our hearts to be our Savior and Lord. He isn't talking about what you need to do to get saved. He's talking about what you need to do to become an effective believer. Please understand the context. Adding to your faith means to be growing. Plant yourself so you can grow. In fact, Peter is helping us understand that there is an exception when you're a child of God, that you continue to grow. Add to your faith. Grow in your faith. Get stronger and stronger. Produce fruit. Get deeply rooted and closer to God. Today, I want to be closer to God than I was yesterday. Tomorrow, I want to be closer to God than I am today. I get to push ahead. I get to continue to seek after God. And I get to chase after God. Add to your faith. Peter is saying when you add these qualities in your life, you'll have a fruitful and productive life. So what are these qualities that Peter's talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8? Peter is saying we need to add goodness. We need to add knowledge. We need to add self-control. We need to add perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. By adding these qualities, they keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. They're going to help us grow. They're going to help us make a difference in the world. And isn't that what we want? Don't we want to make a difference? How many of you guys want to make a difference in the world? Only half of you put your hands up. If you want to be an effective Christian, your faith needs to be continually growing. When we add these seven qualities Peter talks about in our faith, our relationship with God is growing nonstop. We should never get to a point as Christians that we say, hey, I have totally arrived. I have it all together. I don't have any problems. I don't have any issues. I don't have any temptation. I don't have any sin. I don't have any pride. Friends, I want you to know this. We never get to that point where we just arrive. None of us ever arrive at that point. We must be constantly growing and pursuing and chasing after all that God wants us to do in our lives. God is doing a deep work in all of us, and we need to continually be growing. We need to add these seven qualities that Peter's talking about: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. And today, I don't have time to unpack all seven of them, but we're going to focus on one of these today. And I feel like God is leading us to talk about knowledge. The word here that Peter is using is the Greek word called nous, and it means to be seeking to know, to understand, to investigate spiritual truth. When Peter says add to your faith knowledge, he isn't talking about, hey, you need to go to college and gain some knowledge. He's talking about chasing after things of God. He's saying pursuing knowledge has to do with God and how you're growing closer to Him. So how do we do that? How do we grow in that kind of knowledge? How do we get to know God in a greater way? How do we get that connection? It's simple. You plant yourself where God can grow deep roots with the Lord. Plant yourself where you can grow deep roots with the Lord. It's just like a friendship. The closer you get to someone, the more you know the details of their life, the deeper connection you have with them. You need to build a deep connection with the Lord, and that happens when you spend time with Him. Spend time in His presence. Spend time in the Word. By doing this, you're growing and developing a relationship with God. You need to get to know Him. This is what I want you to understand today. It's not just knowing about Jesus. It's truly knowing Jesus. It's not just knowing about Him. There's a lot of people that know about Jesus. They go to church all the time. They know the stories of Jesus. They know about His birth. They know about Easter. They know about the Sermon on the Mount. They know a lot of things that Jesus did. They know a lot of things that Jesus said. But they really don't know who Jesus is. They really don't know Him. They know about Him. Friends, just coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. You got to know Him. You have to have Him as your personal relationship with Him. First, you need to ask Him. We talked about this. You have to ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him as your Savior. And then you got to get to know Him. As a kid growing up, there was a person I followed who played basketball and really loved watching this guy play. He went on to be called the GOAT. And when I say the word goat, I'm not talking about the animal, the goat. The goat, what means when we talk about in sports, is the greatest of all time. And this person that I'm talking about is Michael Jordan. And I love watching Michael play. He was so smooth at playing. He did so many things. And when you look at his career and all the things he accomplished, it's pretty amazing. He won a championship at North Carolina when he was a freshman. He played on 2 gold medal teams. He won 6 NBA championships in a row. He really is the GOAT. And growing up, I followed his games. I went to a few of them, and I would read the sports magazines Back then, we didn't have ESPN, so he had to read. So I would read all the magazines about Michael Jordan and the things about Michael Jordan. And I would buy his shoes, and I still buy his shoes. I knew everything about Michael. But listen, I know a lot about Michael, but I really don't know him. If Michael Jordan walked into the church today, now that would be really cool. I would go up to greet him, and he wouldn't go, "Oh, Keith, oh my goodness, I've lost track of you. Where have you been, man?" He wouldn't go and say, "Hey, how's the family?" He wouldn't ask me, "Hey, Keith, do you still have that killer jump shot?" Because I don't know Michael. He wouldn't say those things because he doesn't know me. We don't know each other. I know a lot about him, but I don't know him. And there are a lot of people who know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know him. You have to get to know him. It's not just knowing about him. It's knowing him. You need to know him. Colossians talks about this very thing. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We've continually to ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that his Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Paul is saying, "I'm praying for you that you would grow in your knowledge, grow in your understanding, grow in your relationships, that you would get to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit would do its job and lead you in truth. So you can live a life that is worthy of being a believer, a life that honors him, a life that magnifies him, a life that exalts him. So as you continue to grow in your knowledge and understanding who he is, you get to know him. And I want to share with you today what I believe are a few things we can do to get to know God in a greater way. Peter starts 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 by saying again, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith knowledge." So how do we do that? The first one is this: plant yourself in the house of God. If you want to grow, plant yourself in the house of God. If you want to really know Jesus, plant yourself in the church. I realize that's not a popular lifestyle because for our culture today, to plant yourself in the house of God means you're there more than once a month, whether you think you need it or not. Sorry, attending church only once a month isn't truly planting yourself in the house of God. That's just showing up when it's convenient for you. Pretend you went to a store and maybe you bought a plant like this or some other plant, and you say, "Hey, I want to plant this plant in my backyard somewhere." And so you find the spot, you dig the hole, you put some new soil around there, you put the plant in, you put some fertilizer in there, you water it, and naturally what's going to happen? You're going to think it's going to grow, right? And it starts to grow. And a few weeks later, you say, you're standing, and you're like, I really like that plant, but I really don't like where it's at. And so you decide, hey, I'm just going to dig that plant up. And you dig that plant up, and you get a little sidetracked, so you leave it to the side because your schedule gets a little crazy. And a couple weeks go by, and the plant is still sitting there, and you wonder why it doesn't look that good anymore. What's the problem? It's because you had it planted, then you removed it, and you know, and you didn't do anything with it. We understand that leaving things like plants to the side mean they'll probably dry up and they'll die because the plant didn't get any water, it didn't get any of its nutrients. It needed to be planted with those things in order to grow. It's the same thing with us. We need to be planted in a place where we can grow. And I have people come up to me and say, Pastor, you got to help me. My kids are doing crazy things. They're not living for God. But my question back to you is, but when's the last time you had them in the youth group? Pastor, my marriage is falling apart. I don't know what to do. When was the last time you had the family in the church? Do you want to grow? Plant yourself in God's house. Get planted. Get rooted. And listen, I'm not just talking about church attendance. We want you here every week. That's great. But when I say plant yourself in the church, I'm also talking about plant yourself in an area to serve in the church. The last couple of years when I planted my garden, and I have it all set up, ready to go. I got the plants ready to go. Before I even start to lay them where I'm going to plant them, I get out a piece of paper and I draw out a map of the garden. And I draw out the map and say, okay, this is where I'm going to put the tomatoes. This is where I'm going to put the peppers. This is where I'm going to put the cucumbers. And I do this because I wanted to see on the map where everything would go and how it would look and see if I had everything in the right spots. And just like that garden map, God has the perfect spot mapped out for you to be planted to serve in the church. He has that perfect spot for you to serve in the church. And I know sometimes we don't want to look at that map that way. Maybe you think you're really not needed. You say, hey, I come in on a Sunday morning, they look like they have everything under control. I'm not really needed. Or maybe you're here today and you said, man, I've done 30 plus years serving in the church. I'm good to go. They don't. It's time for me to step to the side. Somebody else needs to do it. We don't want to look at that map. But friends, God wants you to be planted in the church. Look at what his word says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If I can be honest with you today, we have a lot of spots that we don't have people in. A lot of spots. On a Sunday morning, it takes many people to make ministry happen here at Calvary. And again, being honest with you, we're just barely getting by with that. We're barely getting by. Because so many of us are saying, hey, I don't want to plant myself in the church. I don't want to do that. There's a lot of different areas where you can serve here at Calvary. And here's just a few right now where we're really thin at. The first one is the cafe. How many of you love your coffee and donuts? Raise your hand. Come on. There's more than you than that, just that. You love your coffee and donuts on a Sunday morning. How many of you came in last week and you were disappointed the cafe was closed? You know why? Because I don't have enough people planted there. We don't have enough people planted to make it run. And the other places where we're running thin at is kids ministry. Do you know on Sunday morning, typically Pastor Lindsay has over 400 kids down in kids ministry. We don't have enough people planted down there. First impressions. How many of you like to be greeted when you come in? You love the warm welcome. Feels good, doesn't it? We don't have enough people. Youth. We don't have enough people in our youth area. Worship and production. Look, you don't have to be a singer. You know where they're short at right now? They only have a couple key players. A couple good, I can't even say the word, guitar players. I get all choked up because I want to play the guitar. Production. Look, we got to plant ourselves in the church. If you're interested in serving in these areas, you're going to hear me say this a lot today. Where do you go? Is to our app. And on our website, you can click on Connect. If you can't get to the app, this is the time for you to download the app or head out to our website and you can do that. If you want to grow in knowledge of God, plant yourself in the church. We need to be planted in the house of God. Another way to grow in your knowledge of God and add to your faith is number two, is plant yourself in the Word. You need to get into the Word of God. Some of you are saying, oh, Keith, that's so old-fashioned. No. You need to know what God's Word says. And how do you get to know him? again in his word. I printed off the Ohio driver's manual. How many of you guys studied this? Yeah. 57 pages. How many of you youth students right now are studying this? A few of you. We study this, why? Because we want to get our license, right? We take the time to open it up, and we want to study this because we want to pass our tests. There's things in this manual right now. If you didn't study it, you wouldn't pass the test. You need to study the manual. We study the manual because we want our driver's license. We want that freedom able to drive, to go where we want to go and do what we want to do. We study the manual so we can drive. And when you look at, a driver's license in comparison to spending eternity with God in heaven, it doesn't even compare. God has given us a manual right here, and it's called the Bible. This right here is going to help us to navigate life. It's going to help us through life, how to do life. And he's given it to us. It's the Bible. It's the Word. And maybe you tell yourself you don't have time for it. Maybe you don't know if it has anything for you in it. It doesn't say anything to you. The Bible says that the Word of God is living and active. And it's just as true as today as it's ever been. So when I go back to my garden here, and I've mapped out where my vegetables are going to be at, now I'm ready to dig the holes and plant my vegetables. And I find this, get them in their spot, I take them out of their containers, I dig the hole, and then I put some, get them ready to cover them up. The next thing I do, though, before I cover them out, is I take some fertilizer here, and hey, Bob, so add some, gonna feed you here, Bob. And so add some fertilizer there to Bob, and he's good to go. See, the fertilizer gives the plant its nutrients. It gives the plant the good stuff to help to grow. And when we plant ourselves in the Word of God, that's what it does for us. It gives us the nutrients that we need to grow. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." I know sometimes when you're just getting started reading God's word, it's hard to know where to start. We look at the Bible and we say, man, that's a big book. Where do I start at? If that's you, I want to share a few things that might help you. So you're going to go to the Calvary app. Open the Calvary app. On the bottom part of Calvary's app, there's the Bible icon. You click on that, then the next thing that pops up is a little calendar. On that calendar is a reading plan. You can have a reading plan every day that's going to give you scriptures and different chapters of reading the Bible that's going to help you read the Bible, to get through the whole Bible. And that's amazing that you have a plan in your hand, you can do that. And maybe for you that you say, man, that's just too much for me to do right now. I'm not comfortable with that. That's okay. Then start with something a little bit more simple. Perhaps you commit to reading one chapter every day in the book of Proverbs. Or begin with a daily devotion. The most important thing is this. You get started and you make it a habit. Have you ever heard of the book Atomic Habits? Anybody's heard of that book? Atomic Habits by James Clear. It talks about making goals so simple and then they're achievable and repeatable. In this book, there's a story of a James friend who lost over 100 pounds. One thing he started was setting a goal of going to the gym for 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes. He'd go to the gym. I don't know what exercise he was doing, but he'd get in there, 5 minutes, set an alarm. After 5 minutes was up, he'd leave. He did this every day. And then it started becoming something that, hey, I can naturally keep doing this. And so what he was doing, he was achieving his goal of being in the gym. And as he was doing that, he started tweaking that. So 5 minutes maybe turned into 10 minutes. 10 minutes maybe turned into 20 minutes. But he was able to do it because he started tweaking it and exercising longer, and it helped transform his life. And like physical exercise, spiritual transformation is the gradual reward of consistent habits. Even when you might not feel immediate effects of your Bible reading, you can be confident that your spiritual fitness will improve little by little each time you get into God's Word. I encourage you to get into the Word. I encourage you to plant yourself in the Word. Start with a reasonable goal and make it a daily habit. The next thing we need to do is number three, is plant yourself in prayer. Another way to position yourself to grow, to really know Jesus and add to your faith, is to plant yourself in prayer. Too often people think prayer is a time to bring my to-do list to God. To bring it and say, but you know, and they're not really concerned about God's to-do list. They go to God and say, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. And oh God, by the way, I need it done today. Thank you. I don't have too much other time. See you later. Goodbye. Some of us, that's how we pray. We bring everything to God and just say, boom, 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 here it is. And prayer is supposed to be a two-way conversation. Yes, you can come to God and tell him what's on your heart and ask for help and what you're going through. God wants you to do those things. He wants you to pour out your heart. He wants to perform miracles. He wants to perform breakthroughs. And he loves it when you pour that stuff out to him. He loves it when you want to have a deep conversation with him. He also wants you to do this. He also wants you to be quiet. He also wants you to come and say, God, this is what I'm going through. God, these are the things I need. God, this is it, this and this and that. Then he wants you to sit back and he wants you to listen. He wants you to sit back and listen to the things that he has to say or the things that he wants to give you. This is how a two-way conversation takes place. And this is how you can learn more about him. See, when we pour our heart out to God and we take time to listen to him, he's going to pour his heart out back to us. He's going to reveal things to you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you direction. He wants to reveal his purpose and plan for you. But we got to sit back and listen. So we planted in the garden. Bob's planted. He's got fertilizer. He's ready to go. The next thing that I do in my garden every day, I just make this habit. I go out and I grab the hose and I water the garden. And so I come to the garden, and I take time, and this is really when I talk to my plants. Hey, Bob, how's Larry doing? Did he ever find his hairbrush? And take the time. Water's important in the garden because it feeds it. The water is the soul to the plant. And an active prayer life is water to the soul. Just like you, when you water your garden so your plants can grow, if you connect with God through prayer, it will help you grow too. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Trust God with your prayers. Pour out your heart to him and sit quietly and listen. If you don't listen, you might never learn. We don't get to truly know God if we don't listen. So plant yourself in church. Plant yourself in the Word. Plant yourself in prayer. And the last thing is this. Plant yourself in praise and worship. Praise and worship isn't just something that happens for 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. It's a part of the service, but it's not the extent of it. Praise and worship should be done 24/7. It should happen every day. We need to understand the power of praise and worship, especially the music side of it. Music is powerful. It impacts us. It affects us. It's more than words. It's truth. If you're going through your day and you're singing worship songs, it will change your perspective on everything. Today, praise and worship is so easy for us to get. We can get it on our phones. We can get it through our house. We can get it on every app. There's no excuse why we shouldn't have praise and worship at our hands at all the time. Again, I'm going to go to the Calvary app. You can find worship on the Calvary app. It's there for you. There's a lot of times when I come home and I walk in the door and my wife, Marn's already, got to the house before I've gotten there. And I walk in and she has worship music playing. And it's not quiet. She has it playing through the whole house. It's loud. But I can tell you there's a peace when I walk inside. It's a feeling of God's presence. Play it in your house. Let the atmosphere of your house be marked by the anointing presence of God. When you're driving with your kids around town, have it on. I'm telling you, it'll change your perspective on traffic. Yeah. The orange barrels are going up, people. Worship can change your perspective on that. It changes your perspective on the person who just cut you off. If you can play it at work too. I play it in my car. Here just recently, I had it on in my car. And I encourage you, if you have a song that you like, put it on repeat. Continue to play it. My song right now is Holy Forever. Ugh. Every time that song plays, I'm an emotional basket case. But I had it on in my car, and I'm playing it, and I'm worshiping, and I'm at a stoplight, and I can remember, and I'm doing this, clapping, praising God, and I looked over to the left of me, and there's a person looking at me like this. Play it in your car. Worship's there for you. You know, once, when I went to go plant my garden, one of the main things I needed to make sure was taking place in the garden was that it was getting sunlight. If I didn't map out a good spot in my yard where the sun was at, then all the things I would do really don't matter if it doesn't get the sun. And so I got them in my garden, in my yard, where the sun hits it. But have you ever noticed that plants, when they get that sunlight, they grow directly towards that sunlight. They're growing right towards that sunlight. And just like plants grow towards the sun, we also grow when we get close to the sun. I'm talking about the Son of God. Extending your hands in worship is a natural expression of saying, God, I want to grow. I want to get closer to you. I exalt you. I love you, God. I want more of you. Psalms 134, verse 2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. If you want to get to know God, plant yourself in praise and worship. If you want to gain knowledge of God and grow with God, you have to plant yourself in the right spots. Knowledge of God is a nutrient for our spiritual development. Our knowledge of God is the life-giving water that sustains spiritual growth. Plant yourself in the house of God. Plant yourself in the Word. Plant yourself in prayer. Then plant yourself in praise and worship. When we plant ourselves in these things, we gain the knowledge of God, like Peter is speaking about. We gain the knowledge of God, and then we gain those six other qualities that Peter mentions when we will come. We gain goodness. We gain self-control. We gain perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. When we gain that knowledge, those other things naturally come to us. I know some of you are thinking, man, this feels like a lot. I got to plant myself in four different things. And I don't think I can do that, Keith. And maybe that seems overwhelming to you. And I get it. But I want to encourage you, if that just seems overwhelming, start with one. Start with one of them. Maybe you need to plant yourself in the Word. And once you start going on that, you know, naturally it's going to happen. You're going to plant yourself in prayer. Then naturally you're going to plant yourself in praise and worship and plant yourself in the church. Start with one if you can't do all four of them at once. There was a time in my life when my wife and I, it was almost 28 years ago, we moved here to Toledo and we're newlywed. living in an apartment, finding the church where we're going to go. And it was a season in my life in that time where I just felt, man, I'm just going through the motions. I felt disconnected. I felt like I didn't even have any friends. And I just didn't know what was going on in my life. So I'm dealing with that. But I realized I needed to make some changes in my life. It's like when we, going back to the garden, when the plants are growing and things are just, seems like they can be a little bit different. Sometimes you got to get out the cultivate and rake. And you got to go around the soil of the plant. And you got to move things around because some of the nutrients around that plant needs to get to that plant. And it needs to change that plant and help that plant grow. And that's the same thing I needed to do in my life, my own life. I had to take this little rake here and start moving the soil around my life. And while I was doing that, I realized, man, you know what, Keith? You're not planting in the church the right way right now. You know what? You're not planting in the Word. There's some things that just need to change because I really didn't have the knowledge of God. I didn't really have that connection with God at that time. But doing some moving around the soil helped me see, hey, I needed to plant myself back into the church. I needed to start serving in the church. I needed to plant myself in the Word. I needed to get into planting myself in prayer. Then I needed to plant myself in praise and worship. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you right now, just if you can bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Keith? I'm right there with you right now. I'm just going through the motions of life. And I'm not planted where I need to be planted at. I need you to pray for me today. If that is you, can you just raise your hand? You say, you know what? I'm just not planted where I need to. Yeah, there's hands going up. I need plant. I need help. I need prayer. Thank you. I see your hands up there. Thank you. So, Father, today, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, God, that we can gain a knowledge of you. And then when we do that, we get to know more of you. We get to grow more with you. And that's what our goal is. We want to make sure that we're planted in the right spots. So today, God, there's many of my friends that raised their hand that said, you know what? God, I feel like I'm just going through the motions of life. I'm not planted where I need to be. So to God, I pray for them today. God, speak to their hearts. Show them where they need to be planted at. God, and as they plant themselves in these things, God, I ask you to just to continue to grow in them, God. Continue to speak to them. Show them, God, the things that you have planned for them. Show them the things that you want to do in their life. God, our goal is to just to be a light for you. So, God, we pray that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Calvary, thank you so much for allowing me to share with you today. Have a great week. Enjoy the weather, and we hope to see you next Sunday.